are listening to A Scary State, and this week we're covering Arizona. So, Kenzie.
Yes, Lauren.
Let's get scary.
You're much better at that than I am.
I've had a lot of practice.
I still mess it up.
I know you do. Every time it's, wait, what do I say again? We don't record every single week.
Well, right, and I know it. I don't know, when it comes time, I get stage fright. I don't know.
Stage fright in front of the microphone.
Exactly.
So I had such a sad thing happen today.
Oh, no.
So I went to go hang out with my mom and grandma. Mm-hmm. And so before, I had to get Starbucks, obviously.
Obviously.
And so I ordered those little egg thingies, and I go in.
Oh, I saw your snap.
Yeah, I go in, I get my drink, I get my egg thingy, and I'm out at my car, and all of a sudden, it just falls straight through the bag. And I was like, what just happened? So I look, the bottom part had opened up. So I walked back inside, and I was like, my bag broke. And the lady behind the counter just looked at it, started laughing, and she was like, I'll make you a new one.
That's nice.
And I was like, oh, this is sad.
I didn't have anything interesting happening. I did homework all weekend.
Oh, fun.
Yeah.
I had my car situation, too, where my lovely husband left the lights on. Not happy.
No.
So, yeah, I had to call AAA, godsends, and they helped me jump my car. They found... The guy comes, I pop the hood, and he's like, oh, I have a present for you. And I was like, what? So I walk around, there's a freaking screwdriver under my hood. And he's like, I don't know why this is here, but here's a screwdriver.
That's weird.
So I just had a screwdriver under the hood of my car for, I don't know how long. I got my oil changed like 3 months ago, or 2 months ago. So maybe, I don't know.
I tried to be really awesome and proactive and, you know, independent girl that don't need no man.
Of course.
And fix my door because the screws are coming out.
Oh, yes, yes.
So I got screws.
And?
It doesn't matter the length. It doesn't matter which one I put in there. They just all went straight back. So I need like a bigger screw. But then at this point, I'm like, if I get a bigger screw, it won't go into the hole of the metal thingy.
Oh, yeah.
So it means I gotta call maintenance.
Oh, there's that thingy. It's like a plastic thingy that looks like this, and the screw goes into it for a more solid hold.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Look at us knowing things.
But I already bought the screws, and since they didn't work, I don't want to go buy anything else, so I'll probably just call maintenance.
Why didn't you do that from the beginning?
Because every time I think about it is only when I open the door to leave.
You do that so often in one day.
No, I don't.
Oh.
I like you do. It's not as depressing as it sounds. I usually just leave and wait a really long time before I come back. Although yesterday I had zero human interaction, and at like 6:30 I called my mom and I was like, how would you like it to be my procrastination for the next 30 minutes?
I bet your mom had absolutely no problem with that.
No, not at all. I talked the entire 30 minutes.
I believe that as well.
And she was like, wow, are you okay? And I was like, I haven't talked to anybody all day.
I just really have a lot to say.
I haven't had I haven't seen a person. I haven't been outside my apartment. I went from my bed to my couch. I haven't done anything.
Yeah.
And I feel like I'm closed off from the world. Yeah.
You can do homework here.
I barely am getting it done at my house.
Oh, yes. So having me here would not help that at all.
Oh, my gosh. I was so annoyed. I had to do this, like, honor code thing. And so I read through all the stuff at the beginning. It's like, all right, pass, fail, quiz. 10 questions. Can you do that?
Did you fail?
4 times!
Oh! What were the questions that you couldn't
I don't
get?
Know. I was overthinking the ones that was like, check all that apply.
Of course you were overthinking it.
So I went through the first time and got a couple wrong. I was like, okay. But when you go to press retry, it doesn't just let you retry. No. You have to close out, open it back up again, go through everything to get to the quiz at the very end.
Oh, jeez.
So I go through everything, get to the quiz at the end, fuck up another question. So I was like, fuck. So then the third time through, I was like, all right, let me just like kind of reread some things just to make sure I know. And the third time around, I get to like question 5. And I, like, was so confident in myself, too.
Were they the same questions?
Sometimes.
Oh.
But there's always a couple that were different.
I see.
And those were the ones I kept getting wrong. It was the ones that they changed on me.
Darn it.
And I get to this one question, and I was so sure of it, and I check them all, and then it's like, that's incorrect. I was like, ah! So then the fourth time, I go through it, and I was like, I swear to God. And so I was like so nervous, and I finally got through it the fourth time. I was like, thank the Lord. But you can see on Blackboard how many times I doubted it. I was like, that's so embarrassing. My professor probably thinks I'm a dumbass.
Yeah, be like, she does not have any honor with this job.
Any hooser.
On a happier note, want to tell us about Arizona?
I would love to.
Wait, one sec. Let me tell Joe to make sure he turns the damn lights off.
Oh, for your car.
Yeah. All right.
Anyway.
Just had to throw that out there because if Joe doesn't turn the damn lights off. But once you leave, I'm making him, because here's the annoying thing too. Because you were here last time and he parked on the street. And I said, can you move it before we go to bed so that I have it in the front?
Yeah.
He did not move it before bed. If he had moved it, we would have seen damn lights on.
Joseph.
And I was like, there's a beep when the lights are still on. He goes, I didn't hear the beep. And I said, there would have been a beep.
I have a setting on my car that makes them automatic. So they'll just come on when it's dark. But when I turn my car off, they turn off. So
yeah,
I don't have to worry about it.
My Corolla was like that, but this one's not.
Yeah. Anyway, Arizona. The first McDonald's drive-thru opened in Sierra Vista. This was because at the time, soldiers from Fort Huachuca.
I think that's it.
Bless you. were not allowed out of their vehicles while wearing their fatigues. Interesting. The owner of this McDonald's was near the base and wanted to help out, so he pushed out one wall and out of the sliding glass window. Ah, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
The Navajo Indian clan, the one responsible for the Navajo Code during World War II, is from Arizona. Their state reptile is the Ridge Road... No.
Nope.
Ridge-nosed rattlesnake... Over 150 people are bitten by rattlesnakes each year, and the only venomous lizard in the U.S., the Gila monster, can be found here. And their state fossil is petrified wood.
I just thought that was really weird.
Didn't you guys talk about petrified wood?
Yeah, we talked about the petrified forest, but right. I don't think it was in Arizona. I think it was in, like, Utah, maybe? One of those.
Something like that.
I think, one of those states.
Huh. Women were granted the right to vote 8 years before the Suffrage Act. Shout out to Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
There are more than 100 wineries in Arizona and 22 different varietals. What is a varietal?
A form of wine.
Oh.
Yeah. Hmm. I think it has to do with, like, the grapes, maybe. I don't know. A podcast I listen to always talks about wine, and she'll talk about, like, oh, the varietals of this one are blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. Can tell you my wine knowledge is not really there, even though I've listened to, like, 200 of their episodes, you know.
Yeah. I like it or I don't. And it is home to more than 75 licensed craft breweries. The original London Bridge was shipped stone by stone and used to construct the bridge in Lake Havasu City. Tell my confidence in my reading abilities.
Oh, yeah.
One of the seven natural wonders is here, the Grand Canyon. What are the other six?
There's the Taj Mahal.
Great Wall.
The Sphinx.
Sphinx. Pyramids.
Then two others.
Yeah, you look that up. I'll keep going over these.
We were wrong.
What? What are the seven wonders of the world?
I'm confused. Because it says these seven natural wonders of the world include the Northern Lights.
Well, that's natural.
Yeah.
This is home. Seven. Just type in seven wonders. Natural is different than...
Yeah, okay. The Great Pyramid of Giza, Hanging Gardens of Babylon. These seem wrong. Okay, maybe it's one of the seven natural wonders. Yeah, one of the seven natural wonders. Then there are seven other wonders.
Got it.
Yeah, because the Sphinx and, like, the pyramids wouldn't be natural wonders.
I don't know.
Because these are, like, the Great Pyramids of Giza, the Hanging Gardens of Babylon, Colossus of Rhodes, Lighthouse of Alexandria, the Temple Artemis, Statue of something at Olympia, and Mausoleum at Halicarnassus.
Not the Great Wall?
Nope. Huh. Confused. Okay, then there are other seven wonders, which are the Taj Mahal, the Colosseum.
The Roman Colosseum?
So yes, I think the Roman Colosseum. The Chichen Itza.
Huh?
I don't know. Machu Picchu, like Christ the Redeemer, Petra, and the Great Wall of China. So there are a lot of seven different wonders of the world.
Interesting.
Yes.
We're just going to keep talking about geography. We're not actually going to talk about true crime in this podcast.
Right.
The Grand Canyon even predates dinosaurs. Over 5 million people visit the Grand Canyon each year. A place located at the bottom of the canyon, Supai, is the only place in the country where mail is delivered by mules. Did you know that mules can't be re- can't reproduce because it's a combination of a donkey and a horse.
Oh.
It's like how a, what are the thing with the
liger?
Yeah, that. They can't reproduce either.
Interesting.
Hopefully that's right. And, you know, I say these things with such confidence and then I'm like.
You really did.
I forget that hundreds of other people are going to hear this and I might be wrong.
Yeah.
There is a volcano called Shit Pot Crater.
Mm-hmm.
This is because it resembles a toilet catastrophe. So there you go. The sunniest state in the country, even sunnier than Sunshine State, Florida. The sunniest is Yuma, right?
Sunniest city.
Sunniest city is Yuma.
Mm-hmm.
And Phoenix is the hottest city. Tequila was invented here, as well as the chimichanga. That I can read. So we're jet skis and the taser. Lake Powell has a shore length of 1,900 miles long, which would be the equivalent of walking the coast of California 2.25 times. The first and last woman to be hanged here was Eva Dugan in 1934. When the trap was released, instead of being hanged, she was accidentally decapitated.
I can see. That happened actually a lot.
Ew. Oh,
yeah. Man. I went down some rabbit hole of articles and I saw that. And then I just kept reading like the worst ways people were executed. And so, of course, I started to read that. And like a ton of them were that the people were accidentally decapitated.
But that put an end to that way of execution and soon brought about the gas chamber method instead. Woohoo. The world's most well-preserved meteor crater is located in Winslow. It is approximately 50,000 years old. The Gin Blossoms and Jim Eat World are from Arizona. Wonder Woman Linda Carter is from Phoenix. Michael Phelps and Stephanie Meyer. Michael Phelps is from Baltimore.
I don't know. This article I said he was from Arizona. Maybe he was born there. He was born there, but yeah, I don't know. An article I read said that he was one of the people who was from Arizona.
Yeah, maybe he was born there because he's definitely.
No, he was born in Baltimore. That's what the article, this other thing I just searched said. He was from Baltimore. But the article I used for my notes said he was from Arizona.
Ah, well.
Maybe he like stepped foot in Arizona at one point and they claimed him. They're like, that's ours.
So, Stephanie Meyer.
I think she wrote Twilight.
Oh!
Because Twilight was all up in Washington.
So you can write about places
I know.
You don't live.
I know, but I just feel like, well, maybe that's why she chose Washington, because Arizona's all sunny, Washington's all not.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know. That's what the article said. I went with the article. I don't know these things. That's why I did research.
Well, it was wrong.
Well, then their article was incorrect.
All right, Lauren, what you talking about today?
Today, I'm going to talk about the Yuma Territorial Prison. So located in Arizona is the Yuma Territorial Prison. It opened on July 1st, 1876, and ran until it was shut down on September 15th, 1909. It has been added to the National Registrar of Historic Places, and it is now running as a historic museum and is run by Arizona State Parks and is currently known as the Yuma Territorial Prison State Historic Park.
What a name.
Seriously. So ground was broken on April 28th, 1876 for the prison, and guess who helped build it?
Can I have a hint?
The prisoners.
Oh. was thinking, like, design.
Yeah, no. No.
Yeah, no, okay, that makes sense. I probably should have known that.
Yeah, the first seven prisoners admitted actually helped build their own cells. At this time, Arizona was a Wild West place, so it was believed that this prison was needed. This was after the Civil War, so a lot of people were moving west. And to include all that they left behind, one more thing that was left behind was their law-abiding ways.
Oh, true.
On July 1st, 1876, the prison accepted its first seven inmates, and for the next 33 years...
Wait a minute. How did those seven people build it?
They built their own cells, and then I guess from there they had other people build it once they were in their cells. I don't really know. It didn't go into much. It just really emphasized the fact that the first seven helped build their own cells.
Okay.
Yep. So for the next 33 years, 3,069 inmates passed through its doors, to include 29 women. The first convict to enter the prison was William Hall. He was there on a murder conviction. After 3 years, he received a pardon, but that didn't help keep him out.
He got a pardon for a murder?
They were really just happy to give pardons at this time.
Wow.
But he returned a couple more times after continuing to be a bad person.
Shocking that a murderer would repeat himself.
And even, too, how he was like, yeah, 3 years, murder conviction, I don't know. In 1878, the first female prisoner arrived, Lizzie Gallagher. She was convicted of manslaughter. At the time, there were no separate areas
But she didn't get pardoned.
Well, there were no separate areas for female prisoners, so she was kept in solitary confinement. She was there for 42 days before she was released. Oh, so murder, 42 days.
Well, manslaughter, isn't that like the accidental one?
Didn't we look that up and it was really confusing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And this was in the 1800s, so yeah.
Clearly anything goes, though.
Right. The first prisoner to attempt to escape was Jay Lewis, but he was unsuccessful. Hmm. The prison housed all sorts of criminals, with crimes ranging from murder to grand larceny, which was the most popular and common crime, and even polygamy. Polygamy was a crime at this time. Like, jailable crime. In 1856, the newly formed Republican Party linked two crimes as the time relics of barbarism. Barbarism. Like, barbarian things.
Oh.
These two crimes were slavery and polygamy.
Yeah, that would be good to make those a crime.
Yeah. The Republican Party also supported the Morrill Anti-Bigamy Act of 1962. So this was, like, a little bit later.
Wait a minute.
This law outlawed bigamy and overturned the incorporation of the Mormon Church in Utah.
Interesting.
And interesting how we covered Utah just last week.
Well, it's also interesting that the Republican Party was against.
But I feel like over time, if I'm remembering history correctly, things changed. Like, you were Republican, but then they started to kind of get the Democratic views and the Democratic Party
right,
at that time.
When it said newly reformed Republican Party.
Newly formed, yeah.
Newly formed, that would have been when it flipped. Because, yes, you're right.
Oh.
There was a time when it was the Democratic Republican Party.
Oh.
And that was what we would consider more Democratic. And then sometime in the early 1900s, like mm-hmm. modern history, is when the Republican Party became more of what we know today.
Interesting. Oh. Mm. This prison also had prisoners ranging in all ages. The youngest documented was 14, and the oldest was 88.
Damn.
Yeah. So life in the prison. By those who weren't prisoners, the prison wasn't described as being particularly awful. It had many amenities that even homes in Yuma didn't have, like electricity, forced ventilation, sanitation with 2 bathtubs and 3 showers.
Could you imagine, like, being
jealous of a prison?
Right.
Yeah.
Like, just like making a crime, committing a crime just to go because it was better.
Well, what's kind of awful though is, like, homeless youth is a huge problem in our county. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they'll commit a crime so that they can go to jail so they have a roof over their head, 3 meals a day, showers, sanitation,
that's so
warmth.
Heartbreaking.
It's sad.
Yeah.
Like, healthcare, like, it's better. Sometimes being in prison is better than being out in the streets, which is awful.
That is terrible.
Yeah. But so, Yuma also had the first 3 flush toilets, a library that contained over 2,000 books.
A prison had the first 3 flush toilets?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah. An enlightened, progressive administration, and even a prison band. And
wow.
It was actually the first prison to have the library, hospital, electricity, and AC.
Good for them.
Yes. Residents of Yuma, those not in the prison, actually gave it the nickname of the Country Club of Yuma.
Oh my God.
They're, like, really bitter. But even with these amenities, the prisoners feared and just downright hated the prison, like, obviously, and it was often referred to as the hell hole. It was described as, quote, impossible to endure, more impossible to escape. And it had, quote, insufferable...
Well, that's the point of prison.
Exactly. And it had, quote, insufferable heat that made the place an inferno. And it wasn't in a great location either. It was surrounded by rivers, quicksand, and deserts all around.
Is quicksand really a thing?
I don't know. I feel like, well, if you go to the beach... And you're in the sand, and you kind of go like this with your feet, like step really quickly. You do kind of go into it like how you would with quicksand. I watched a lady online do that.
Researchers in the Netherlands and France studied quicksand, a combination of fine clay, sand, and salt water. At rest, quicksand thickens with time, but it remains very sensitive to small variations in stress.
It's like quick stepping in it.
Yeah. Higher stresses, quicksand liquefies very quickly, and the higher the stress, the more fluid it becomes. And that's from National Geographic.
Hmm.
So it's probably legit.
Yeah, I feel like quicksand's like a thing.
But I feel like there's not going to be quicksand in Arizona. It's too
dry. Well, there are waters, like there are rivers and stuff near Arizona.
Oh, true.
Yeah. But I also feel like all our lives, they make it seem like quicksand is going to be like this really awful thing we're going to encounter multiple times in our life.
You know, people say that, but I... only thought of quicksand of happening in, like, fairy tales.
Oh.
I never considered it something to be worried about.
Yeah, I was never worried about it. It just made it sound like quicksand was, like, this thing that we would probably one day encounter. Because they tell you to, like, lie on your back to float.
I've never heard any sort of strategy to get out of quicksand.
Interesting.
The thing that blew my mind was how your parents made it seem like they were going to crash the car if there was a light on it and it was at night.
Right.
Like, that was
dramatic. Thought that was illegal.
Yeah, so yeah. Did I. So did I.
But I can get it because it is annoying if you're driving and someone has a light on. I mean,
it's definitely not as easy, but like...
So that's probably why they said it.
Yeah, but I just think we're going to die.
I know. And that's not just my parents in general. We're talking about, like, all parents.
Right.
Yeah. So this prison was also an open-air prison, which means that if they weren't in a place that had the AC, the prisoners would be exposed to the heat of the desert.
Oof.
The temperatures in these areas could reach 118 degrees Fahrenheit or 47 degrees Celsius.
That's like one of those moments where you just don't move.
Yeah. Just stay perfectly still.
Yeah.
There would also be snakes, spiders, scorpions, and any other kind of desert wildlife walking around the halls of the prison.
Oh.
Outlaws from all over the West actually feared coming to Yuma. Those who tried to escape but were unsuccessful would be given the typical and stereotypical ball and chain as a punishment. Over the course of the time the prison was open, there were 138 attempted escapes, only 42 of them being successful.
Ah.
2 actually escaped from the inside walls, 8 while en route to a different prison, 24 while out on a work detail, and 8 while a new facility was being built. There were many different punishments waiting for the inmates should they act up. They would have to break bricks, so your typical, you know, chain gang breaky bricks thingy.
Yeah.
Or would have to spend time in the snake den, also known as the dark cell. The dark cell is exactly what it sounds like. It is a 10 by 10 square foot dark crypt area. It is usually completely dark, except for a tiny vent that allows in some sunlight. So during the night, pitch black. This is where the rowdy and uncontrollable criminals were sent when they were acting up. Those in the dark cell would be stripped down to their underwear, where they would then be chained right where they stood. So it also had the name of Snake Den, and there are 2 reasons for this one. Sometimes snakes and scorpions would be able to make their way into the dark cell, so you're in the dark with these creepy crawly things.
Mm-hmm.
But other times, guards would legit throw scorpions and snakes in there with the prisoners. They would joke and say that the glow that scorpions gave off would provide light for the prisoners.
Well, natural glow stick.
Oh my god. Oh my god, it cracks too. Sorry. In this cell, the prisoners didn't have a toilet and would only be given a loaf of bread and a jug of water once a day. And sometimes, inmates would be in this cell for months, having no contact with anyone.
Doesn't that make you go crazy after some time?
Yeah, that's why typically now you can only be in solitary confinement for like 30 to 60 days before you have to be released, and then you could be put back. There's a story about the dark cell that involves 2 inmates. They had to be hooked up to ring bolts, like a chain is connected to the prisoner, and then that is connected to a bolt that has a ring on the end, and it's secured on either floor, wall, ceiling, you know. Mm-hmm. You've seen this before. Well, they had to be urgently transferred to an insane asylum when they were finally released from the dark cell. I guess with how awful the conditions were.
Yeah.
In 1886, an intense riot occurred. I do my notes, and then I put things around, so I have 2 sentences. In 1886, an intense riot occurred. An intense riot occurred in 1886.
When you need to, like, add just a few more letters and fluff to your essay to make it.
7 inmates tried to escape. They took firearms from the guards, then took the warden, Thomas Gates, hostage. They then charged the front gates using Warden Gates as a human shield. Gates, who was a tough dude, told his guards to shoot and not worry if they hit him in the process. So the guards started to shoot and the warden got hurt. But not by a gunshot, but by one of the inmates who had taken him hostage, stabbing him in the back.
Ouch.
Then a trustee of the warden's, so a person who has, like, some authority under the warden, was able to grab the warden's gun and shoot the person who had stabbed him. At least 4 inmates were shot and killed by guards, and at least 1 was wounded. The riot then became known as the Gates Riot, named after the warden. So clearly this prison wasn't a super safe place, because in the 33 years that it was in operation, 111 prisoners died.
Oof.
No executions were performed on the property, but 50% of those who died from tuberculosis as well as other diseases. 1/2 of the deaths were from natural causes, 8 were shot while trying to escape, 6 killed themselves while in prison, 5 were killed in work accidents, 2 were killed by other inmates, and 1 was executed by Yuma County, not on the property, but he had been an inmate.
That's interesting that only 2 were killed by some, like, inmates.
Yeah. I thought that, too.
I think that just speaks more to the conditions, because if they're dying of more, like,
sicknesses and illnesses,
and things like that.
Due to overcrowding in 1909, all of the prisoners who were still incarcerated were sent to the new Arizona State Prison Complex, and the Yuma Territorial Prison was shut down. After the prison shut down, from 1910 to 1914, the Yuma Union High School took up residence in this building.
Oh, my.
So what an interesting fact I found. So there was a football game being played between Yuma and Phoenix. Yuma High won, and out of frustration, Phoenix High called them criminals, because their school was literally a prison. Well, Yuma took that nickname in stride and adopted that as their mascot, sometimes calling themselves the Crims instead. Their symbol is the face of a hardened criminal, and their merchandise shop is called the Cell Block.
Well,
I think it's kind of cool.
I guess so.
They've taken it in stride. They still, you know.
My sister told me, I think it was my sister, I don't know, growing up, I was told that my sister's high school was designed by someone who designed prisons, which is why there wasn't a lot of windows.
I heard that.
Yeah.
That was like a common rumor around, mm-hmm. yeah, around Nova.
Mm-hmm.
After the high school, from 1914 to 1923, the county hospital used the building. In 1924, one-third of the prison was demolished to make room for new tracks for the Southern Pacific Railroad. The veterans of foreign wars used the guards' quarters in 1931. The word that this article used, they used the word hobos. Mm-hmm. They would ride in the train in the 20s and 30s and would sleep in the cells. And during the Great Depression, homeless families would live in the cells as well.
Hmm.
In 1961, Yuma Territorial became a state park and is now only the third state park in Arizona and is a very popular attraction to this day.
Hmm.
So some notable inmates. Richard Flores Magan. He was an anarchist and revolutionary who violated neutrality laws after he planned to overtake a mine. He was sentenced to 18 months. Maria Marino. Oh, that's an interesting name. Was only 16 when she showed up as an inmate. She was in there for murdering her 15-year-old boyfriend.
Yeah.
Her boyfriend had chastised her style of dancing when they were at a party, considering it to be suggestive. So she literally picked up a shotgun and shot him.
You know what? Good for her.
Yeah.
Men suck.
Yes. One of the
gross.
Most
famous...
One of the most famous inmates was Pearl Hart, the bandit queen. She was sentenced after robbing a stagecoach. On May 29th, 1899, her and her husband held up a stagecoach and made off with some $400, which today would be about $13,470.
Damn.
They didn't get too far, though, as they didn't have an escape plan. Her husband quickly surrendered, but Pearl fought.
Is that like Bonnie and Clyde? Or were Bonnie and Clyde real people?
No, Bonnie and Clyde were real people.
Okay, just kidding.
Their whole thing was, I think, in Alabama.
Uh-huh.
Something like that. While awaiting trial, she was able to seduce a guard who allowed her to escape. But again, she didn't get too far. Finally, when she was put on trial, she dressed in a nice dress and told the jury she had to rob the stagecoach and needed the money for her sick mother. She lifted her skirt and showed off a well-shaped ankle, then flirted with the men of the jury.
A well-shaped ankle.
That is what the article said.
Oh my
said.
God.
She then flirted with the men of the jury, and she was found not guilty.
Good for her, using what she has.
But the judge was not very happy about the jury's decision.
I'm sure.
And he decided to try her again for a gun she had also stolen. This is when she was finally found guilty. Pearl's husband, Joe, was sentenced to 20 years. Pearl only received 5. And her husband's the one who, like, surrendered immediately.
Oh, my God. That's so funny.
But due to her charm and the fact that she was one of the only 29 females, she only served 2 years of her sentence.
Of course.
She committed one of the last known train robberies in the Old West.
Hmm.
Then there was Buckskin Frank Leslie. He murdered his girlfriend and is the only other person who, quote, could compare to Doc Holliday's blinding speed and accuracy with a six gun. And then there was Elena Estrade. Estrade. She was sentenced to 7 years for allegedly ripping her unfaithful husband's heart out and throwing it in his face.
Hell yeah.
I wonder how long you would live after your heart is ripped out. Like, would you live long enough to know that your heart was then being thrown at you?
Well, taken from the fact that I don't think she actually has the strength to jam her fist.
Well, we don't know how she did it.
Well, I'm assuming that if she had to, like, cut it out, he was long dead by the time she threw it back at him.
Well, I like to think he was still alive and knew he was being hit in his face with his heart.
That would be nice.
Yes.
And we can say that just for our own benefit.
Sounds good.
Okay.
And of course, there are the hauntings of the Yuma prison.
Of course.
The historical park has a reputation of, get this, being one of the most haunted places in the United
States.
No
way!
USA Today readers have actually voted it as, quote, the best haunted destination in the nation. When it was announced as a winner, the article said that it, quote, had been a hub of paranormal activity. Reports include spirits of inmates on death row, a woman wandering the banks of the nearby Colorado River looking for her drowned daughter, and a small child in a red dress who pinches passerbys. Legend about the little girl goes that she, wearing a red dress, had dropped her doll in the Colorado River and was trying to get it out when she fell in and drowned. She now haunts the historical park. It is said that if you are visiting and she doesn't like you, or if you're wearing red, she will pinch or poke you with her cold fingers. Visitors have reported that upon entering the prison, they feel a sense of dread and unease wash over them.
I mean, it's a prison.
Well, yes. But, like, more than like you would normal typical prison things.
I know.
Some have reported hearing the faint murmuring of inmates' voices, rattling chains, and music echoing through the halls. Some visitors have even reported hearing an angry voice telling them to get out. A female spirit is said to sing in the visitors' area in the morning. And then employees who work in the office and museums have often seen things being moved from their original spots. Lights will turn on and off, and once, coins that were in the register in the gift shop flew into the air, then landed right back in the drawer. Things have been known to fall off the shelves in the gift shop, and Johnny, he's a ghost who lives there, likes to rearrange coins in the cash drawer, but he doesn't mess around with the bills. The two most haunted spots there are said to be Cell 14 and the Dark Cell that I talked about. So we'll start with Cell 14. What was that?
There's the fly.
Oh, yeah. It's this damn fly. Joe and I can't kill it. And we were in the kitchen last night, and he got, like, a wooden spoon, and he's, like, walking around trying to hit the fly. I don't know how it got in. No, I do. I leave the door open when I go out onto the balcony, because Roy likes to walk in and out. Mm-hmm. And if you close the door, he gets mad that you closed it. It's right. A whole thing. But yeah. So I think it got in that way. But that was, like, a week and a half ago. I didn't think flies lived that long.
Do you remember my Nat Albert in
college? Yes, I do. I do. So.
Maybe it's Albert.
So you had a Nat named Albert and a ghost named Albert.
Sometimes there are names that just sit in my head.
And Albert's one of them.
Name something. That's one of the names that comes forward. I couldn't tell you why.
Interesting.
It's like that and Fred.
Yeah, Fred and Frank seem to be two names that just always pop to people's heads for some reason. All right, so Cell 14, it belonged to John Ryan. He was imprisoned for, quote, crimes against nature. He wasn't a well-liked inmate. None of the guards liked him, and neither did any of the other prisoners.
What does crimes against nature mean?
I don't know. But that's just what everything said was crimes against nature. I never really went into it. So he had completed suicide while in the cell. Guides at the park have reported feeling a cold chill, cold spots, and shivers when they passed Cell 14.
Is generally an umbrella term encompassing sexual offenses that are unnatural or contrary to the order of nature.
Oh.
He fucked an animal. Include masturbation, sodomy, and bestiality.
Hopefully it was nothing.
That's why awful. They didn't mention what it was. They just
it could be. It really could be.
That's what it is.
Well, so that's what he did.
That's probably why nobody liked him. It's weird.
Yeah. I mean, good reason not to like someone.
Yeah.
Others report feeling the air getting noticeably colder when entering that cell. John Ryan's apparition is seen as a light white glow with shiny eyes. The next super haunted place is the Dark Cell or the Snake Den. People have reported hearing blood-curdling screams and pleas for help near the cell, and it is believed that it is those inmates who had spent time in the cell. Ghost Adventures, so Zach Bagans came here. As they were walking around, they heard what sounded like a little girl scream. They believed it was the girl in red who was said to inhabit that cell as well.
Mm.
Visitors who have entered the Dark Cell say that they immediately get a sense that they are not welcome and are not alone. They get the feeling that they are being watched the entire time they're in there. One reporter decided to stay in the Dark Cell for 2 days, so 48 hours, to see if it was really as awful as people have said it is. She got all chained up to the wall, got her jug of water and her loaf of bread. She lasted only 37 hours. When she was finally out, she said that she didn't feel like she was the only one in there. She didn't feel like she was alone.
Mm.
So Shane and Ryan from BuzzFeed Unsolved Supernatural went here, so I, of course, had to watch the episode. Have you ever seen BuzzFeed Unsolved?
I've seen it on Hulu, but I haven't watched it.
They are so funny.
Yeah.
And I think you would actually really like them. So at one point, they went to the area where the gate riots occurred, and Ryan heard footsteps a few times. So real quick, Ryan is, he's like the Bugara, so he's the one who, like, believes in all the scary stuff, and he's the one who, like, if there's a ghost, he thinks there's a ghost. And then there's Shane, so he's called the skeptic because he'll hear footsteps and he, like, doesn't believe it. He's the one who you've seen the memes where he's like, hi, demons, it's me, ya boy, like that meme. So he's the one who really is super skeptical, so they're very fun.
Random side note, but you said the name Shane, and so it made me think of it. When I went out to lunch with my family today, and the person in front of us was, like, giving their name for, like, to make the reservation, and it was Shane, Sean, something like that. And the lady asked for him to spell it, and he goes, S-S-E-A-N. Yeah.
Huh.
And I thought maybe I heard him wrong, like maybe he said S-H, but then he said it again. He was like, yeah, S-S. And I was like, Sean.
Ew.
Or Shane. You can't even do this.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Yeah, it's different.
Ew.
Yeah.
Maybe he wanted to be different.
I don't know if that was his idea or his parents.
There are some weird names people come up with.
Yep.
So Shane and Ryan went into John Ryan's cell, and as they were asking questions, they heard a whisper. There was also an isolation cell outside that they visited. This cell is a legit cell outside. Like, it had a tin roof and the bars and stuff. So inmates who weren't listening and were acting out would sometimes be sent to this cell.
A timeout.
So, yeah, but it was outside, meaning that the prisoners would have to endure the awful outdoor weather in a cell with a tin roof.
Yeah.
And this cell was visible to all the inmates inside. So they did a spirit box session in the cell. They didn't get much in there, so they were saying they were going to leave. And the spirit box said, why? Next, they went to the guard tower. They did a spirit box session here as well. And Shane was saying things like, I bet some of y'all weren't too bad just here to cash a paycheck, but I bet some of y'all were real asswipes. And the spirit box said, fuck you.
Oh my God. Wait, what's a spirit box?
So it is this thing. You turn it on and it makes a really loud noise and it goes like, shh, and it goes through all the different like radio waves. Mm-hmm. And if there's a spirit trying to communicate, it'll take up multiple radio waves and kind of like mess with them, mm-hmm. and be able to kind of like use words and talk to you through the waves. Yeah. So it's very loud and it's very annoying, but it's cool when things happen.
Yeah.
So he got a few unintelligible responses, but still a response in good time. So, like, he would ask a question, and then the spirit box would make, like, a noise.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it was kind of cool. And last but not least, of course, they visited the dark cell. So there were a lot of bats in the cell when they went in, like, 30, 40 bats in there. Mm. Shane said he was more afraid of the bats than he would have been of any potential ghosts. At one point, he said, he'll do this thing where when he's scared, he locates the part of his brain that is terrified and just sort of shuts it off.
I would love to have that capability.
Right. I was like,
that sounds like an amazing skill to have.
Right. And even Shane said that the cell was really, really an uninviting place, and it was really a place you didn't want to go into. Then Ryan went into the cell, and this was so you, Mackenzie. So he was really, really afraid of the bats, like hated the bats in there. He had, and they spend a certain amount of time in certain places by themselves to see if they can pick up anything. And so once his time was up, he took like a really long time to stand up because he was so afraid. And then so he finally decides to get up. So the whole time he's running out, he's going, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And he's like running out the whole time. And I was like, that is Mackenzie.
Yep.
So overall, Shane and Ryan said it was indeed a very creepy place. The park is open daily from 8 a.m. until 5 p.m., but from June 1st to July 30th, hours are modified to 8 a.m. till 4 p.m.
Well, like, it's hot as shit.
Yeah. It's open Thursday through Monday and closed Tuesdays and Wednesdays. Admission is only $8 for everyone 14 and up, $4 for ages 7 to 13, and no charge for children under 6 years of age.
Cool.
If you ever have the desire to go visit Yuma Territorial Prison.
I'd go during the day.
Yeah, I think I would go.
I would do stuff like that. In the daytime.
And I think they probably, I saw it, like, they have a whole Facebook with events and stuff. And yeah. I think they probably definitely, like, you know, market stuff during October and spooky season and Halloween. So, yeah.
All right.
What are you telling us about, Mackenzie?
Bucket of Blood Saloon.
Oh.
And Street.
And Street.
And Street. So today I bring you the bloody history of the Bucket of Blood Saloon on Bucket of Blood Street in Holbrook, Arizona.
Okay.
This town and saloon is the epitome of Wild West. So there are two possible origin stories of why the saloon changed its name from Terrell's Cottage Saloon to the Bucket of Blood.
Cottage Saloon makes it sound so, like, quaint and happy.
Wholesome, right?
Yeah.
Not wholesome. So you can decide which one you think is the truth. So a little bit of history.
Okay.
So the history of Holbrook was not one of sunshine and rainbows. This town was founded in 1881 and was a railroad station for the Atlantic and Pacific Railroad. It was named after Henry Randolph Holbrook, who was the head engineer of the region. The railway was used as a shipping and distribution center for cattle and sheep ranchers in the area. By 1884, the town grew to over 200 people. It became the epitome of the Wild West. It was described as a, quote, town too tough for women in churches.
Oh, mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
The town consisted of a jewelry shop, drugstore, gunsmith, blacksmith, two general markets, two hotels, and three saloons.
Mm.
In 1885, the Aztec Land and Cattle Company bought 1 million acres of land and brought in 40,000 head of cattle from Texas. They were also known as the Hash Knife Outfit, because their brand looked like the kind of knife that you would use to cut hash. And if you are like me and you don't know what that is.
Oh, yes.
According to Wikipedia, hash is a culinary dish consisting of chopped meat, potatoes, and fried onions. The name is derived from French, hatcher, meaning to chop. It originated as a way to use up leftovers. In the USA, by the 1860s, a cheap restaurant was called a hash house or a hashery.
That actually sounds really good.
Mm-hmm. There's a place in upstate New York that has what's called a garbage plate, and it's just a pile of stuff.
I mean, I'm not going to lie. That sounds really good.
Some of it.
Hmm?
Some of it. It's hot dogs thrown in there or something.
Ew.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound great.
Yeah.
Were you the kind of person who would eat hot dogs in your mac and cheese?
Lauren?
I know how you eat hot dogs. This doesn't have the bun with it, and I know you like mac and cheese.
So why the fuck would I eat Why would I taint?
I don't know. People do it.
Why would I taint the deliciousness of mac and cheese by putting a hot dog in it?
I don't know. That's what I was wondering, if you ever did it. Clearly you did not. Joe does. That's like a thing that they've had before. It was like, okay, but it's not something. I would rather have like a hot dog and mac and cheese, not together.
Yeah, I'm not like, I'll eat a hot dog, but it's not my first choice of meats. Rather burger.
Oh, yeah.
I had a traumatic experience as a child, so.
I know.
I'm not a fan of them.
Yeah.
So.
Do you still eat them that weird way?
Yes. And even though I'm an adult and know that I didn't throw up because I ate a hot dog in a bun, and it's probably a bad hot dog, but for like the first 18 years of my life, I like didn't think I could have it. I would have a hamburger on a bun.
But for the hot dog, it's just eat the hot dog?
I'd eat the hot dog, and then I'd eat the bun. If I had a corn dog, I would eat the stuff around it and then eat the hot dog.
Ew.
And then it got to a point where I was like, I mean, I'm sure I could, but now I don't even think I really like it.
That's how I am with chocolate ice cream. I ate Rocky Road and I got sick when I was younger, and now I can't eat chocolate ice cream. I can't eat anything that has like peanuts in ice cream. I can't do any of that.
Chocolate ice cream is the only kind of chocolate I don't like.
Same.
Yeah.
Same. I don't like chocolate ice cream, but any other chocolate you give me, oh,
I love chocolate.
I will be so happy.
Hatchery. Right.
Food, yep. Okay.
The cattle company made Holbrook a major cattle shipping center for 15 years. With cattle comes cowboys. Not only was cattle rustling a major crime in the area, although no one was ever convicted, but the cowboys would ride through town, always causing a ruckus.
Of course, those dang cowboys.
Those dang cowboys. According to a local businessman and newspaper editor, Lloyd C. Hemming, the cowboys, quote, would race their horses through the town, brandishing their six shooters and shouting, "Hide out, kids, the cowboys are in town." They would shoot out lights and dances and otherwise justify the wild Western traditions. Several hash knife men were known to be killers. Holbrook has now become a tough little cow town.
Hmm.
The small town of just about 200 people became the most lawless in the country. Brawls and shootouts were a common occurrence. The cowboys would ride into town several times a week, shooting out windows and bystanders not fast enough to get out of their way.
Oh, God.
Mm-hmm. Even the sheriff in town was as tough as nails. Not surprising, considering who he was in charge of keeping in line.
Yep.
Perry Owens had run away from home when he was from his home in Indiana when he was 13 years old. He made his way west by working as a farmhand. In 1881, he came to Arizona and was hired as a foreman for a ranch in Apache County and to guard cavalry horses from the Navajo. According to reports, Owen killed so many Navajo that they referred to him as the Iron Man. They also believed that he had supernatural powers and that he was the devil. Mm. He supposedly was never wounded. He may have killed upwards of 50 Native Americans.
Oh, jeez.
When the news of his skills and the lawlessness in town skyrocketed, the county voted to make him the first sheriff of the town. The local newspaper described him as, quote, quite quiet, unassuming man, strictly honorable and upright in his dealing with all men. He is immensely popular and enjoys the respect of all who know him.
Okay.
There you go.
Okay.
There was like a whole other thing about him, but it's, you know, boring. So I didn't include it. The saloon was originally named Terrell's Cottage Saloon and was the haven for cowboys, locals, and other ruffians. The saloon saw many gunfights and fistfights long before it changed its name to the Bucket of Blood. And there is one story of two patrons who were attempting to have a drunken target shooting contest, and they missed their target by inches. And according to some reports, 1886 was a particularly bloody year for the town. More than 24 people died, and while that might not seem like much, with a population of 200, that's about, or 10%.
That's pretty, yeah, pretty large number.
Yeah, about 10% of the people in town. And that brings us to our origin stories. From the reports I have found, there is one that seems to be the more favorable one, and then there's another one that's just like an honorable mention.
As always, yes.
And so I'll let you decide which one is the truth.
Okay.
The first story is not as exciting as the second one, but it seems to hold the most merit since most of the sources I found claim that this was the reason why the saloon changed its name.
Okay.
So according to Jolynn Fox, who is a volunteer with the Navajo County Historical Society and Museum, said that one evening two men went to the saloon and joined a card game. For whatever reason, a fight broke out over the game and shots were fired. The next day, people who walked by it said it looked like a bucket of blood was spilled on the floor.
Oh.
According to Wikipedia, they say that an argument was between rival cattle rustlers. They also described a card game that started the argument. The end result was the same, witnesses saying it looked like a bucket of blood was spilled on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
White Mountain Independent, which was like a, I think it was like a blog site, said that the poker game was between a New Mexican sheep man and Hash Knife Outfit man, cattle person. What? Hash Knife Outfit, that's what they call
it. Oh, okay. Yeah. All the additional words there.
Yeah. The argument led to three men being killed, and the aftermath, you guessed it, looked like a bucket of blood spilled on the floor. So, maybe all these people got their information from the same place. Maybe it is the real reason the saloon decided to change its name. WMI even said that it is hard to know the truth of a legend since there is not much reporting with it. Mm-hmm. Given the amounts of fights and bloodshed over the years, any one of those stories could have been the reason.
Yeah.
So, story number two, a little bit more interesting. I now bring you the story from from Albert F. Potter. Potter was a rancher who helped develop forestry efforts for the U.S. government in the early 1900s. Before, he came to Holbrook, Arizona for health reasons. It was interesting that you brought up tuberculosis because there was this rumor that Arizona was a good place to go if you had tuberculosis because of the dry air.
Oh, yeah. They had a lot of that. You know, like, that was always the thought. Like, oh, go to this place where it's open and dry air and clean air and you'll get better.
Yeah.
Now we have learned, thank God.
Right. Well, that's why he went to Arizona. He became a cattle and sheep rancher who had a good eye for fresh grass and a good reputation with the locals. Here's his account of an event that took place around 1888. The roundup on the Little Colorado River Range had just been completed, and the herd was being held at a lake about 12 miles east of Holbrook, ready for cutting out the cattle that would be taken to the stockyards for shipment or their home ranges. As the saddle horses were being brought in about sunrise in the morning, two riders were seen coming across the country coming from Holbrook. At first, it was thought that they were Indians because one of them had a cloth wrapped around his head in an Indian fashion. As they drew near, it was seen that the man with his head bandaged was seriously wounded and almost exhausted from the loss of blood. When they got closer to the wagon, the other man greeted us by shouting, "Here we come, all shot to pieces!" Recognized him as Joe Crawford, a cowboy who worked for the Aztec Land and Cattle Company, known as Hash Knife Outfit, and George Bell, a gambler. Crawford was so weak that he had to be lifted from the horse he was riding. Oh, they're coming from Holbrook. I'm going to keep going.
Okay.
You'll see what I mean when I get to the end.
Okay.
Crawford was so weak that he had to be lifted from the horse he was riding. We laid him on the horse wrangler's bed, and with a handful of flour from the cook's bread pan, I plastered the wound on his head and stopped the bleeding. Examination showed that a bullet had also passed through the cuff of his shirt and coat sleeve, and just grazed the side of his body. Scars of other old wounds showed that this was not Crawford's first fight. Bell told the story having been in a card game. So now that I'm rereading this out loud, but I didn't realize that they were coming from Holbrook.
Okay.
Which probably means that this is the card game that keeps getting talked about.
Oh my gosh.
That's okay.
Well, now people know.
Now here's the real story. Well, it's still an interesting story.
It is an interesting story.
Bell told the story of having been in a card game with Ramon Lopez, another Mexican, when a controversy arose about a deal in the cards and Lopez struck Crawford over the head with a six shooter. Then the real trouble started. Crawford drew his gun and killed Lopez. Then the shooting became general, and Crawford killed the other Mexican who fell beside his partner. Crawford and Bell then made their getaway. Bell was afraid that the men would come after him and Crawford. Porter supposedly told them that they could stay the night unless the law enforcement came looking for them. They would turn them over and let the law handle the matter. No one showed, and the men left town. A deputy sheriff did arrive looking for the men, but they were long gone. Porter believed that Crawford was actually Grat Dalton of the Dalton Gang, who was later killed in a bank robbery in Kansas. So the reason for the name change is because when Bell and Crawford shot those two men, it looked like a bucket of blood had spilled on the floor. Mm-hmm. Which, now that I'm rereading this story aloud, what I'm now going to decide for everybody is that this is what happened. This is the card game that everybody was talking about. Wikipedia made it seem like this was a whole separate idea. Like, they had three different ones.
Yeah.
And so that's where I ran with.
Ah, yes. Because Wikipedia is written by just whoever wants to write it.
Well, to me it seems legit, but is it the reason for the name change?
I like that, you know, little connecting it back to
that's
the story.
That's what I wrote in my... The article I read from WMI has a great quote, but it doesn't really matter because as Old West author Stuart Lake said after writing Wyatt Earp Frontier Marshal, 1931, when the legend becomes more popular than the truth, go with the legend.
Hmm.
So.
Interesting.
Yeah. So poker seems to be the main theme here. No matter which story you choose, even though they're technically the same thing, they both have a basis of a poker game being the catalyst. Pun intended.
I love when you're so proud of yourself.
Thank you.
We can't do these puns any other time during the week, so.
Actually, with my kids, we're doing, we have a pun of the day.
Oh, what's your pun for Tuesday?
I don't know, I haven't made it yet, but last time it was, you are positively amazing.
Aw. Do they know the word qualifications?
Do they know the word qualifications?
Yeah, like, would that be a word that they know? Because there's a cute one where it's like a koala and it goes, what do you mean I'm not a bear? I meet all of the qualifications.
I made a joke about escargot and that did not go well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it was like a snail wanted to go fast. And so we got a car and he put an S on it. And then everyone who saw him drive by, look at that escargot. Oh. And it's funny and literally staring at me.
Oh.
It's like snails because it's a snail in a car. And someone's like, that's not that funny. And I was like, it'd have been funny if you guys know what escargot is.
I love how honest.
So I wanted to share another story that kind of is not so much of the name change, but just how the saloon lived up to its name of being the Bucket of Blood.
Okay.
And the reason I want to read it is because the wording is really funny. This is like a legit newspaper. Okay. Shooting at Holbrook. Bloodshed over a dispute in a card game. The victim dies almost instantly. Deed was committed by the proprietor of the Bucket of Blood Saloon. A tragedy at the little town of Holbrook early Sunday evening, says the Flagstaff Democrat. Shortly after 6 o'clock, the report of a pistol broke the Sabbath quiet, and soon the news that a foul and inexcusable murder had been committed threw the townspeople into a fever of excitement.
They're really trying to just...
I'm adding a little pizzazz to it with the reading, but you know.
Yeah, but these are the words,
right.
You know?
Mm-hmm. The quarrel that accumulated in the tragedy began in a saloon bearing the shudderingly repulsive name Bucket of Blood. The two men were playing cards. Suddenly a dispute arose and angry
words...
There's
that dang card game again.
Fucking cards, man. And angry words passed between them. One man drew a revolver and forced the other to retreat to the street. In front of the drugstore, the aggressor fired and his victim fell dead on the highway. Rushing there, people found his shirt crimsoned with the blood that had flowed from the death wound. He had been shot through the heart. The dead man was George C. Hyatt, a barber, and his slayer, Harry Donnelly, the manager of the saloon. During the excitement, Donnelly declared that no man could take him alive, and Deputy Sheriff Harford, Sheriff Owens, was out of town. Mr. Harford lost no time in demonstrating the truth of his boast. There's a word that I can't tell because it's blurry. I don't know. Can't tell if he got arrested or not. I don't think so. When the news of the tragedy was borne to the widow of the dead man, she sunk lifeless to the floor. And according to reports received last night, she is still unconscious as of the late hour. Hyatt came to Holbrook about 3 months ago, presumably from Colorado. T.S. Bunch, a former resident of Holbrook, says he always regarded Donnelly as a harmless sort of fellow. The murder will probably have a preliminary hearing at the Winslow today. The Bucket of Blood Saloon is the property of F.J. Warrington, but Donnelly ran the place. It is indeed a bloody record. It is said that no less than 9 men have been killed there.
Wow.
I just thought it was great. The shudderingly repulsive name.
I mean, it's not a great name.
No.
It's not great.
It's not. So the saloon eventually closed down. As the cattle ranchers and cowboys left town, so did the patrons. A preacher and his wife moved into town and built a church, and that really drove people away. Eventually, Central Avenue was changed to Bucket of Blood Street.
Ew.
Holbrook is now known as a tourist stop on Route 66. Now the town has a more positive reputation than its beginning origins. And that is the Bucket of Blood Saloon on Bucket of Blood Street.
I'd go visit. I bet it has some hauntings there.
Not one of the main things that was talked about.
Interesting.
So that's why I'd be willing to go.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't like at the forefront. There was one, the White Mountain Independent thing. Mm-hmm. Like there was like talk of trying to restore. But then when I went back to click on the article, it wanted me to buy a subscription. So
oh,
I couldn't
That happens
share
a lot.
More about that. But yeah, there was a lot of like, there's like the Great Blood Basin.
Mm-hmm.
And like all these blood things. And I was like, oof. There's one town that I was reading about that I was going to cover, but this sounded more interesting, where the town was so lawless and horrible that the sheriff was, like, deputized at, like, 3 p.m. and was dead by 8 p.m.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
5 hours.
That's awful.
Yeah.
Not. So. There's so much of, like, the Wild West stuff that I just hate so much.
Yeah.
How lawless and how just, like, dirty and dusty.
Well, and when I was reading some of these other things, like, especially with people moving out west, just the things that they would do to the Native Americans.
Oh, I was like, awful.
You know about it, but I was like, I don't want to talk about that. I don't want to, you know, that's just, ugh,
people
are awful.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, it should be talked about because it's part of our history, and to ignore the fact that it was a thing is ridiculous.
But it's whitewashed.
But it's definitely whitewashed, but when you go on the internet, you don't find the whitewashed version, and it's just
some but those versions just have been banned, Mackenzie.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Here's the thing. It's called public school education.
Right.
You want to decide what your kid does and doesn't learn? You can either homeschool them yourself or take them to a private school where you pay for the education, so you probably would have more of a say. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But if you're not a qualified educational profession, go.
Mm-hmm.
Please go.
Yeah.
You don't go and tell your doctor what to do. Why are you going to tell me what to do?
Yeah. No, I 100% agree with you.
And it's also like, you want to come do my job? Come on. By all means, come for a week.
Yeah.
There's always this great post from teachers that if they actually worked their contract hours, nothing would get done.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Or the one where people are like, oh, teachers are just like glorified babysitters. And it's like, okay, well, if I'm charging $12 per kid.
Right? I would make more.
I had this many kids in my class, and for this many hours, I would make $330,000 a year. Thank you.
I should do that.
It was some wild, wild amount of money.
I'll never see that in my lifetime.
Yeah, I don't think many people will. I know I won't.
Not unless I, you know, marry rich or find a sugar daddy, one of the two.
There are a lot of sugar daddies online.
There are. And if it was just, like, someone who needed, like, a pen pal.
Yeah.
I think I could do it.
Yeah.
But that's usually not the.
Yeah. I wouldn't mind giving someone company, but not, like, sexual company. Just, like, normal, hey, pal company.
I like hanging out with people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I
could do that.
Hear your cool life stories, but that's about it.
Yeah.
It's about where I would draw the line.
Yeah.
All right, well, if you have any fun stories or ghost stories or literally anything, just, like, send us things at ascarystatepodcast@gmail.com. Go to our website at www.ascarystatepodcast.squarespace.com.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
Follow us on all the social media things and retweet and like our stuff so that we can get more followers. This was a very rambly.
A little bit.
That's because these stories were a bit shorter.
Yeah, that seems to be what happens sometimes.
We tend to fill the
fill the void.
Fill the void with that's tangents. Okay. I hope you enjoyed our tangents.
I think that's it.
I can't think of anything.
All right, well, then stay scary.
Stay safe.